and welcome to the very first episode of the Hearts PT podcast. I'm Dr. Natasha Clark, and today we are going to be talking about frozen shoulder and its relationship to diabetes. So let's first start with what is frozen shoulder. So some of you may know it by its fancier name, adhesive capsulitis. But essentially, it's a condition in which your shoulder gradually loses all or some of its mobility. Sometimes this makes it harder to spot because it doesn't just happen all of a sudden like an acute injury. It's characterized by swollen, stiff connective tissue around the shoulder joint to the point where it essentially freezes. At first, it's just annoying, but over time, daily activities like getting dressed or taking a shower can become challenging. The condition usually occurs in three distinct stages. First, we have the freezing stage. And this can last anywhere from about 6 weeks to 9 months. In this early stage, the shoulder is painful to move and there's a pretty significant loss in range of motion. Next, we have the frozen stage, and this stage can last anywhere from 4 months up to a whole year. In this stage, pain usually becomes more manageable, but your mobility decreases to a greater extent as the stiffness gets worse. Last, we have the thawing stage, and this occurs anytime after 6 months up to even several years after the first onset of symptoms. In this stage, you'll find that mobility begins to improve and you can resume many tasks that were previously challenging. It's been identified that people with diabetes are at an increased risk of developing frozen shoulder. And according to the American Diabetes Association, 10 to 20% of individuals with diabetes will get a frozen shoulder at some point in their lifetime. This is compared to about 2 to 5% of the general population who will experience a frozen shoulder in their lifetime. We haven't been able to truly identify a direct link between diabetes and frozen shoulder. However, a lot of research has shown that it's likely due to high blood sugar. High blood sugar levels can affect collagen, which is a major protein that makes up our connective tissue. Connective tissue basically includes our tendons, ligaments, and cartilage around our joints. Elevated blood sugars form what is known as advanced glycosylation end products. We're going to refer to them as AGEs. These AGEs stick to the connective tissue, which make them stiffer and weaker and will ultimately create an inflammatory response. This is what contributes to that pain and movement restriction that we see in frozen shoulder. There are a couple other risk factors as well that may contribute to frozen shoulder. One of them is immobility of your shoulder. So if you are in a cast, for example, or in a sling, this puts you at increased risk of developing frozen shoulder. The condition can also occur after experiencing an injury, such as a rotator cuff tear. Women tend to be more susceptible to developing the condition, and those aged 40 to 60 years old are more likely to develop frozen shoulder as well. Unfortunately, there's no guaranteed way to prevent frozen shoulder, but maintaining good blood sugar levels is great prevention. If you've had a shoulder injury, early mobility exercises may reduce the risk of experiencing a frozen shoulder. Beyond this though, if you do end up with a frozen shoulder, getting an early diagnosis and having a consistent stretching routine is going to be critical to keeping your mobility. Feel free to reach out if you have any questions or would like some guidance on managing your frozen shoulder. Tune in next time for when we discuss knee osteoarthritis and what research says is the best treatment.